Johnson, an up-and-coming 22-year-old professional boxer from Alberta, Canada, made Alberta and all of Canada proud and gave her career a big boost last Friday night when she knocked out, and that's putting it mildly, former professional figure skater Tanya Harding in the third round of a fight in Edmonton. How did it feel to knock out boxing's bad girl? Does that help Amy line up a big payday in the next fight? Let's find out firsthand from the young pugilist. Amy Johnson, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. You have a really sweet, nice voice.
Thank you.
I wouldn't expect you to beat the crap out of me.
I'm sorry?
I said I wouldn't expect you to throw a good left hook, and you know, you could speak real nice. When you're in the ring, Amy, I notice with women competitively in sports that some of you look at people and have a look that's designed to intimidate, whereas another tact you can take is that you have a look that's designed to say, what's up, just little old me, I'm not anything you need to worry about, and then bam!
I was a big fan when you were a skater, huh?
Boom! Which is it for you?
I like to just keep quiet until fight night, okay. and then I'll try and put on the pressure as soon as we get in the ring, but I like to just keep it, you know, keep my opponent guessing until time.
So you don't do any loud mouthing ahead of time or anything like that? You just let them wonder?
Yeah, I just let them wonder. It's always the quiet ones that come out.
When you were told that you would be fighting, or were you asked if you wanted to fight Tanya Harding, what went through your mind?
I was happy. I was, like, when the fight was offered to me, I was really grateful for the opportunity. There's a lot of publicity that came with this fight, which is really good for my career. I was really happy, really excited about it.
How many bouts have you had?
This was my third professional bout.
Really?
How many times have you beat up somebody, like, just for fun in real life?
Oh, no.
No, you don't do that?
No, never.
Okay, so this is and when did you know as a little girl that you would want to do this professionally or work towards that?
I've always been a huge, huge boxing fan my whole life. I was watching boxing with my dad. My dad also manages and promotes some boxers here in the city, puts on majority of the shows
here.
It's
in the family blood. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a boyfriend?
No, I don't.
Now, if you had one, would he be a big, muscular type, or would he be like a skinny nerd who owns a software company? What would you want?
I think I'd need to go with more of like the boxer type.
Someone who could defend himself.
Somebody just as tough as me. Has to be able, you know what I mean? I can't be the one going out protecting and, you know.
Right. You don't want to, be like you two being mugged.
Yeah.
No, give him my wallet. No, let him have it. I didn't like the watch anyway. Honey.
Boom.
And as a professional boxer, I don't know if this is just a myth, but aren't your hands like registered lethal weapons? It's against the law for you to hit anybody outside a ring?
I've heard that too, but actually, no, I haven't registered my fists yet and never been. Yeah, I think that is just a myth.
In Canada, when you go to register your fists, you have to wait 5 days before you can take the gloves off?
No.
Waiting period? Now, Amy, I know that it's published that Tanya Harding got something like $24,000. And I'm not going to ask you what you made, but I mean, you know the way these sort of things work, that that she gets a ton of money and you get a ton of opportunity. And I wonder how silly that is, stupid in a way. I guess what I'm wondering is, does that make you matter, and does that increase your motivation, the fact that, you know, she's been brought in, the publicity is all because of her. And I would think, if I were Tanya Harding, that alone would make it much harder for her to get anywhere, because everybody is going to use every ounce of strength they have to knock her out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I knew the people of Edmonton were coming to see the fight. They did not want to see her win. They wanted her to see her take beatings. And, I mean, that's what I did. And, you know, like, I used, like, just all my determination.
I mean, ideally, she should need $24,000 worth of medical treatment at the end of the fight, and that will balance out, right?
Oh,
right.
I have a picture of her. My brother's girlfriend got a picture of her face afterwards. Not pretty. Yeah. I never seen a nose that ugly before.
Amy, I got a picture before the fight, and I could also say not pretty.
Yeah, but I know. I saw this. This was you.
Her face was like covered in welts, like welt bruises,
nice.
Man. Like,
yeah.
She took a ruthless beating.
Well,
like, I give her that much. She's a tough bra. Like, she's tough.
And legs. It's hard to knock that girl down.
Because of her strong legs from figure skating, she stood up longer than perhaps anyone else would have.
She was. Yeah. I just wasn't giving her any room. She had quite a bit of weight on me, so I knew that if I gave her an inch in the fight that I could end up on the floor, and I didn't want that, so I just took it right to her hard and fast.
Nice. And we heard about that. And, Amy, I would never hit a girl, even Tonya Harding, even if she was coming at me with a pipe to the knees. I really couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not in my nature. But I would enjoy hearing you talk about the feeling pummeling her face. Just go ahead. Give me a little, like, what was it like when you knew you had her so bad?
I had her in the first round. She got saved by the bell. She got lucky there. And then after that, second round came, and I came out strong in the second round, and I stepped in hard to throw a short right hand, and she caught me with one and just kind of, she did give me an 8 count there. Like, she is pretty tough.
Yeah, she knocked you down once. Yeah. It shouldn't have happened, right? You should have got her in the first round. And then in the third round, from all accounts, you began basically a punching bag routine on her face, like 13 punches in a row.
Yeah. I threw like a huge, like a 15-punch combination. She was just defenseless at the end of when the ref did stop it. Like, she was... I threw like a 15-punch combination, then a 20-punch combination. She was laying on the ropes. The ropes were just hanging, holding her up. She had her hands weren't even up protecting her face. I was just smashing her.
Were you showing her any mercy? I mean, was there ever a moment where you said, oh, man, this poor little defenseless canary, I've got to lighten up just a little?
No, Bob. Actually, I did. Yeah, for 1 minute there, I heard, like, it's funny during the fight, like, what things you'll pick out of the crowd that you can hear. It's just usually just a blur. You just don't hear nothing. The one moment of the fight, some guy yelled, F you, Tonya, just loud. And I
kick
heard
her
it,
Yankee
and
ass, Amy.
I just felt bad for, like, 1 second.
You felt bad for just a second.
Between
somebody
punches
yelled,
9
me,
and 12.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
But no.
Now, before every fight, Amy, there's always usually a press conference to hype it, to get people to come. Did Tonya say anything disparaging that gave you a little extra motivation to go out there? Was there any words exchanged with you guys before this?
No, actually, she was a decent person. Like, when I first met her, she was kind of laying it on a little thick for my, like, you know, her sweetness routine. But
figure skater routine.
Right, right.
Yeah, like, she was trying to make everyone believe that she's just, you know, such a peach. But
well, now she's cobbler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the press conference, she just said that she guarantees that she's gonna show up, because I said, like, you know, like, I'm training hard. The only thing I'm worried about is Tonya's coming to fight or not, because, you know, she has a reputation for bailing on fights.
She has bailed on a fight.
Well, yeah, I guess the last three fights she had lined up at the very last minute, she backed out.
Yeah, maybe maybe you'll be the one that makes her quit, which will be great for you. And that's the thing I wanted to ask. Can you, as a professional women's fighter, can you get purses like what Tonya's getting now that you've beat her, and if you continue to stay on a roll? Is it a career? Is it something that you can do, Amy, and you know, bring home enough money to marry your big muscled friend and raise a family and have a little cottage with a white picket fence there in Winnipeg? Is this a career for you? Is this a career for you, or is it just a phase you're going through, and eventually you'll get out of it and do something else?
Right now I'm in school. I'm taking the registered nursing program. So
that's hard. That's to
so you can work
that's
both
nice.
Ends.
Yeah.
You can beat them up, and then
nurse
them.
You're going to need some stitches on that. Come see me after the fight. I'll put a little butterfly on that for you. Yeah. Excellent.
But, I mean, I'm serious about my boxing career.
Of course you are.
There is money in it.
How much money
let's
forget about Tonya, because she's, like, she's just total hype. She's getting money because she beat up someone at the Olympics. That's what she's being paid for.
Yeah.
But what a real serious boxer like yourself, how much can you make?
you know, I got treated really good for this fight. Like, I cannot complain whatsoever about the payment that I got. But usually it's not that great. Like, usually it's $200 a round. And, like, I mean, I'm not going in there to fight, you know, because it's a huge payday. It's because it's something.
And Tanya gets, like, $24,000. Yeah. I mean, granted, she's going to need that in medical attention, but...
Wow.
So if you become like it, there must be a champion, right? The champion, world
the
champion.
Title, the world title, yeah.
What would the world champion get per fight?
Probably around what Tanya got.
$20,000
really?
Or so. That's
Ali's
very nice.
Ali's girl, Tatiana Ali, probably gets around that per fight.
Right.
I'm not sure actually about that.
Okay.
Well, Amy, we wish that for you.
So do I. Really, I do too.
And do you have a plan? How old are you? You're 22.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to be doing this when you're 30. What do you think you'll be doing after fighting?
After fighting? Right now, I just want to fight, and, you know, I want to travel, maybe, like, go hang out in Vegas for a couple months, train down there. But, I mean, when I'm 30, I'll be finished school, and...
So you'll be a nurse?
I'll be nursing, yeah.
That's awesome. Very nice. Amy Johnson in Edmonton, who put a big can of whoop-ass... on Tanya Harding's face. Thank you, Amy.
Booyah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just still feels good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Rattlesnake Dick is on the phone. Here's Rattlesnake Dick.
Who gets to tackle all the evilest foes? Who puts a spackle on the hole in your soul? Who turns the joy machine up to brutal? It's Rattlesnake Dick, don't fight him, it's futile. Who kicks the meat wheel into the void? Turned all the squares into a trapezoid. And who's got all the best whip cracking tips? Well, it's Rattlesnake Dick, Rattlesnake Dick, Rattlesnake Dick, cha-cha. Who's got a unit that fills up a truck? Rattlesnake Dick with a shoe-in and luck. Because the Golden Gate Bridge makes rattle great shit, but never the ego of Rattlesnake Dick.
Favorite verse coming up.
There's one thing that I never told you, Rattlesnake Dick's time traveling your word to. What makes Rattlesnake Dick so delirious? He lives on a planet that's just south of Sirius. His name is Rattlesnake. Yay! Who looks like a horse wearing Shatner's toupee? Rattlesnake Dick at the end of the day, but he still kicks the most badass alien butt. Rattlesnake Dick, look at that.
Oh, and he's on the phone when we finally have him in person. Rattlesnake Dick. Hi, Rattlesnake Dick.
Yay! Greetings.
Is that how you answer the phone?
Well, I'm doing my morning yodel exercises.
Now, yodeling, I was told by a couple of other of our singers, in fact, songwriters, Carrie Acri and Susan Robkin, who are helping us judge, that the kind of singing you're doing is a technical, it's a technical marvel. It's very difficult to learn, very difficult to master, and that you actually have to work out much as a weightlifter would, or you would lose it.
Exactly, and it's also very difficult to listen to.
You think?
Difficult to listen to. That was fun to listen to. Now, Rattlesnake Dick is your song. You wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
And Rattlesnake Dick, I don't want to know your real name. I don't want to ever call you anything else. But do you have a real life and a day job?
I have a real life, and unfortunately, the last couple of weeks, it's been a night job.
Meaning?
I'm a plumber, and I've been working on a commercial building that's full during the day. So while you guys were enjoying my song, according to my girlfriend, I was fast asleep, trying to wake up.
That's why we didn't hear from you.
Exactly. I sent you an email thanking you.
Thank you for entering the contest. It's in a category all by itself, which might be a bad thing. But you know what I mean? It's not like, well, we've got a lot of other time-traveling yodeler songs. Which one
sure.
is better? But it's a great song. Is that the only recording of it? It's a little bit on the muddy side. I was wondering.
That is, I've done another version since then. That's I sent it off in its embryonic stage.
Okay,
so
that was
because the deadline was looming.
Sure. How? Oh, I see. How did you record it? What did you record it on?
Oh, I've got a PC, a basic little computer.
Okay, we can remix it for you.
Wonderful.
We can do that.
Has that medley been with you all your life? Is that the one song you were born to write?
Oh, Spike,
oh,
look
no,
at you.
I've written several that are equally twisted.
Do you, have you written about other animals' parts?
Well, yes, I've written a song. I've done, you know.
Time traveling yodeling plumber. Rattlesnake Dick.
I imagine your answer machine must be, you've got Rattlesnake Dick on the phone, but Rattlesnake Dick is not at home, so leave a message after the tone for Rattlesnake Dick.
You don't want to frighten people.
You want hot water coming out of the shower? Need me to come in at ungodly hours?
It'll be there quick.
I got that plumber's power. Rattlesnake Dick.
What was the inspiration for Rattlesnake Dick? Because I did a lot of web research looking for you, and it turned out there was a gold robber back in the 1800s. Is that who you're writing about?
Well, no. It turns out there's a lot of us, and it's basically a tribute to my dad, who's the original Rattlesnake Dick. I grew up in Nevada, and when I was a little kid, I saw a poster for it was an old Virginia City bar, and what they used to do to get people into the bars is they'd have pieces of dead people on display, and they had the head of some guy in a jar, and they had the hand of Rattlesnake Dick.
The robber.
And
the gold robber.
There were like three Rattlesnake Dicks in the West, and it was, if your name was Dick,
that was something they would, and he robbed people.
Well, no, if you lived by a place that was called Rattlesnake, it was Rattlesnake Butte. Well, he's got a mining claim out there, so he's Rattlesnake Dick.
Got it.
Okay. See, and so like, I found out there's like three or four of them in history that, you know, made it onto the web.
See, now I thought it was a guy who had a testicular problem, and they had hardened.
Well,
when he ran, it was like a...
And you want to be careful. You want to listen for the rattle, I guess.
Yeah,
Have you at any time been to a museum and seen William Shatner's toupee?
No, but I have dreamt about it. And I like the song says, at the end of the day, there it is.
When you write a song... It's clearly, there's not a lot of artists like you. When you write a song, is it just for yourself, or do you play? Do you go out to pubs and places and do this, or is it just for your family?
I started out as a child. I mean, I
that's
that
a rare.
I started playing when I was 10 years old. My dad's a piano player, and he got me lessons.
But you're not.
And I started playing out a lot when I was about 18. And, you know, eventually I discovered that, you know, plumbing, there's not as much humiliation and you get paid more. But,
You don't, do you have a plumber's butt? Is that ever part of your act, or is that just, you know, that cliche thing?
He keeps his business cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a plumber's card. All right. But I do it all. I don't do just plumbing. I do welding, too, and some carpentry.
Rattlesnake Dick is a yodeling welder, too. Your commercial would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, speaking as Rattlesnake Dick, the time-traveling yodeler, the reason that I do all this stuff is because I'm actually from the future, and I was sentenced to live in the past for my crimes, my yodel crimes, because yodeling is illegal in the future.
Is it really?
Yes.
Why?
Well, if you were to ask my neighbors...
Oh.
You have to listen to him.
Right.
County Ordinance Number 636.42, yodeling will now be illegal.
I was listening to a group of little kids walk past my house the other day, and they pointed at my place, and one little kid says to the other, "That's where the wacko lives."
That's where the yodeler is.
So you really do right, yodel in the morning.
Kids today don't know about yodeling.
The thing is, if you want to be a serious yodel, you got to yodel about 4 hours a day. Usually only yodel at night.
Where?
Oh, at my house.
So out of your house comes this sound.
So out of my house comes the constant A-I-O-U.
That's a yodel exercise.
That's a yodel exercise. Going through the vowels and holding a note and taking it up.
Rattlesnake Dick, would you do us another yodel song live on the phone? We'd be very honored.
Why, certainly.
All right. Something really extreme, though. It's after rattlesnake tick. It's a hard act to follow.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we can't do extreme until after 2 p.m.
Oh, you really have been notified by the authorities. All right, give me a little... All right, easy listening yodeling. Go ahead.
Okay.
These are the warm-up exercises. This is not the song. Don't worry.
Okay. Well. Here's my standard exercise that you can all exercise along with me.
Okay.
And we're going through the vowels. A I O U. A I O U. A I O U. A I O U. A I O.
Casey, can you do this? Do you yodel?
Yeah, no.
You won't be single.
Come on.
You won't be single long if you show off that kind of skill.
You can do this. Eric says you can yodel.
Can I?
Give it a shot.
Yodelay, yodelay, yodelay.
Perfect.
Yeah, sure.
Bob, you're a fan of Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What have they eliminated in the future?
Yodeling.
No, war.
Poverty.
And yodeling.
You've
never
and
seen
yodeling.
It.
Rattlesnake, so give me another quickly little yodel song. Just something.
Well, one of the early songs that I wrote was for my dad, who was a serious hunter. And so I wrote this song. Let's go shoot some animals and hang them on the wall. Let's go shoot some animals. I know they won't mind at all. When the bullet hits them in the head, how I love to see them fall. So let's go shoot some animals and hang them on the wall. Etc.
Very nice. Rattlesnake Dick, thank you very much.
All righty.
This is a fascinating story. Vernon Blake worked for the Alabama Department of Transportation for 21 years. When Alabama Governor Bob Riley encouraged state employees to look for ways to help the state save money, Vernon said he knew of a way that productivity could be increased. Vernon noticed that his boss spent a lot of time at work playing solitaire on the computer. He watched his boss for 7 months, and what do you know? I guess he put some of that spy on your boss software on the computer and timed mm-hmm. how much time his boss was playing solitaire. Turns out his boss was logged spending 70% of the day.
No way.
Computer solitaire. So Vernon, like the governor asked, came forward with this information. And guess what? Someone got fired.
I bet. I'd have fired him, too.
Guess what? It wasn't the boss. It was Vernon Blake who got fired.
No, that's what I mean. I'd have fired his ass, too. I'm kidding.
I know you would have. Why did he get fired when his boss was spending 70% of the time wasteful? And the governor asked him to come up with the idea. Vernon Blake, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show.
Thank you.
Did I tell the story correctly?
That's pretty close, fairly accurate.
What's the software you put on the computer to measure the amount of time your boss spent playing solitaire?
The name of the software was called WinSpy.
I've heard of it.
Okay.
And who was it who said they would fire me? I heard someone make the comment.
That was me.
Yeah.
Who is me?
Spike.
Spike.
Yes. You have any idea how relaxing a game of solitaire is?
So that other 30% of
right.
the time you could be productive?
You're sharp.
I've never played solitaire, so I wouldn't know.
All right. Now, you were fired. You're appealing this, I assume. That's why you're in the news.
I am currently. Yes, sir. The appeal is ongoing right now, as a matter of fact.
What about Alabama, Governor Bob Riley? Has he done anything?
I don't know that he has been involved with this at all.
I would
imagine that he has read some of the coverage in the local newspapers.
Yeah, I imagine it's been read to him. Governor, we have a little problem here.
Yeah, come back later. I'm in the middle of a game of solitaire. Don't bother me.
I'm going to carry the 9 on the 10, the 8 on the 9, move that pile over there.
Now, the DOT is a pretty big department in any state. What exactly was your responsibility and your boss's responsibility in this?
I am an engineer, civil engineer. I was an engineer with the department. I worked in our right-of-way bureau. Our responsibility was to purchase properties for the construction of our highways.
Okay.
And my boss, of course, my job primarily was to produce the mapping required for that, and his job was to actually go out and acquire that property. Now, I had collateral duties as a network administrator in that division. One of my responsibilities was to confirm and document the misuse of computer resources.
So then you're just doing your job.
You're the IT guy part
of
your job.
Well, I was the IT guy for that department. I was an extension of our IT department, but no, I did not work in the IT department.
So who did you turn this information into? I assume either your boss's boss, certainly not the governor, even though the governor had asked for your help.
This is where the version you gave is a little bit different. I made several attempts through upper management to bring serious problems in our division to their attention.
Not just this one.
I addressed it in those same words. I was trying to handle it discreetly. Mm-hmm. I never went to someone and said, look, this man is playing solitaire.
I don't know how Asian schoolgirls are going to help the Alabama Department of Transportation.
He wasn't doing that, too, was he?
I don't think so.
The guy's such a dork, he can't even find porn.
But at any rate, they discovered what I had found accidentally. So they made it look as if I was sitting on the information and was going to use it for some malicious or destructive purposes towards my boss, which is simply not the case.
No, although...
They were accusing you of blackmail, or you were going to blackmail this guy?
They have alluded to everything under the sun.
So, in the meantime, you're fired.
Oh, yes. I have been fired. I was terminated about 8 months ago.
Does your boss still play solitaire, and has he ever commented on this?
He has not. Well, to my knowledge, he has not commented. I know that the local media contacted him, but he did not comment. 3 days after I was fired, there was a memorandum distributed throughout the department that all games of solitaire were to be removed.
You think?
I wonder what he's playing now. Pong.
I imagine he has some method of wasting time, which is the real issue.
Now, my dad is a civil engineer. He's got a government position, much like you. In fact, he started building roads for the Department of Transportation when I was a kid. And he tells me all the time about the way things could be done more efficiently in government. But I think it's downright un-American to report that to anybody. I mean, you're probably going to be blackballed from government work. People know things could be done better, but I don't think they really want anybody bringing it up, do they, Vernon?
Sure. Not only did I lose my job, this very much will affect my career in my chosen field. That's going to be a real problem for me.
You're supposed to move slow. You're an engineer. I mean, you're not supposed to find efficient ways to do things.
Well, in the commercial world, actually, this may. I would wear this proud,
yeah,
like a banner, like a what did Clinton call it when he beat the impeachment? Wear it proud. Like
badge of honor.
A badge of honor.
Oh, you knew that, did you?
That's what I would call it. Yeah, I mean, I would call it a badge of honor. And you know what? That's what you're doing, obviously, since you're not clamming up and you're willing to talk to us. So you have good representation?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I do. My former employer, though, has made it perfectly clear, though, that even if I win this appeal and am reinstated, that they are going to appeal the decision.
If I were to get your boss on the phone, which, by the way, we might try. Mm-hmm. What's his name?
His name is George Dobbs, D-O-B-B-S.
George Dobbs. Do you know the phone number of the company? Do you still know it? We'll try and get him on the phone now.
I can assure you, you will never get that.
We have CDs to bribe him with.
He's got a layer of secretaries,
That will never happen.
It'll never happen. We'll have fun getting turned down. And we're the type of guys that obviously been turned down our whole lives.
Sure.
It's actually kind of fun for us. All right, so we could try, but we won't get through to him. But if someone did corner him, usually you know what the other side of the story is. What would his side of the story be?
I don't know what his side of the story would be. I would imagine that he would say he was getting his job done, and I would not even argue with that point. The gentleman has been there for 30 years plus. He had a lot of knowledge. I'm making no contention that he never did any work, but he didn't do a lot of work. Let's put it that way. He was a repository of information, and he was a go-to guy when someone needed an answer. But beyond that, as far as someone that needed to be in a supervisory or a management position, he was way in over his head.
Well, if you do all the work, there's none left. I mean, if you want to spread out a 40-year career, you got to do a little every year. And
Joe, this is, by the way, Joe is going to apply for this job after
yes.
he leaves. Didn't work today. Vernon Blake in Montgomery, Alabama. Good luck and thank you, sir.
Hey, my pleasure.
I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away.
Snitch gets fired for spying on his boss's solitaire games. There's someone here who plays a little solitaire. I don't know if he does, but he doesn't do it 70% of his time.
Who's that?
I'm not saying. I'm not going to get fired.
Okay.
I will say, though, that his computer monitor makes it so it's hard to avoid seeing him do it. I mean, it's like way up high, and a lot of people. And he's the kind of guy who, when the work comes in, you know, he
does
it
immediately.
Kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like kind of a fireman of this sort of thing that, you know, when there's work. When there's not, go.
That's the thing, and Joe's point, and I know you were defending this, is that in some jobs you're like a fireman. If you said,
firemen spend all day cooking and watching TV.
We surveyed a fire department, and we found that 95% of their time...
They're not putting out fires! 95% of the time!
Right.
That's why I wanted to hear the other side of the story, because I imagine this guy has some sort of, hey, look, you know, when I'm on
those call. Games keep me mentally sharp. I remember that 4 comes after 3, comes before 2.
Which is hard in a government job.
I think that everybody knows somebody who they feel is probably not doing their share, but I don't think any good usually comes of going above their head and tell them about
well,
it.
Well, let's find out. 1-800-252-1025. Have you observed anyone who does almost no work at work? We'll keep the company anonymous.
I'd like to point out that members of our show are not eligible to call at this point.
But if you work, tell us sort of what sort of job you work in, what sort of job this person has. Who's the person out there? Is there anybody out there who knows of someone who does almost nothing? Who's got the laziest?
This guy, Bob Melvin, stands in the dugout all day watching baseball, never picks up a bat, doesn't throw a ball, gets paid $1 million a year.
Everybody's underperforming that he's working
Everybody,
with.
They suck cheese.
Is there anybody out there who knows someone like this gentleman's boss who doesn't do any work?
Is there anybody who actually went and turned him in? I'll bet you there's no good that comes
from
that.
No good comes from turning him in, no. This is not about that. This is about, do you know anybody above you? Tattle on how they goof off. In this case, the snitch got fired for spying on his boss's solitaire games. Vernon Blake, a veteran at the Department of Transportation, just heard, Montgomery, Alabama, saw his boss, George Dobbs, spending all day every day playing computer solitaire. So Vernon installed a spyware computer program and monitored how the boss was spending his time. After 7 months, Vernon found that Dobbs spent 70% of his work day playing solitaire. Confident with his evidence, he took his findings to the Department of Transportation higher-ups. The boss did receive a letter of reprimand for playing solitaire, and Vernon was fired. They told him, quote, "The conduct of placing software on your supervisor's computer to monitor him without authority or permission is serious conduct, and we won't allow it. You're fired." Oh. Vernon is appealing his firing, saying he was heeding Alabama Governor Bob Riley's call for more accountability in state government. He said, look for waste and report it. Do you know anyone you'd like to tattle on? No names, please. We just want to hear the circumstances. Who's just not doing their fair share. Jamie in Newcastle said, you've already done it. You've tattled on somebody.
Yeah, me and my partner did. We, basically, the foreman of the job was taking all the credit and not doing anything.
That's his job.
And we weren't having that, you know. So we told on him. It got him fired. It only benefited the company and us. We make more money now. He's out of the way. And it's looking good for both of us.
When you say didn't do anything, isn't a foreman supposed to just be checking on your work?
Right.
The foreman should be setting an example for the rest of the company, showing them how to do everything and how to look good. This guy would stand around, leave the job site, talk on the cell phone, while his underlings were doing all the work, and then he's taking the credit from the boss. You don't do it like that. How do we move up in the world if someone else is sitting around doing nothing?
How do we move up without conspiring to fire somebody above us?
I see. There's a whole lot of people who love the fact that think there's way too much middle management.
Right.
Nice of you to take out one rung on that ladder and make room for yourself. Again, though, most of us think that a foreman...
He's a supervisor.
He's only supposed to be watching your
work. I suppose. I think maybe there's some other job owners in the construction business who are out there who would probably agree with me. Foreman needs to set an example. That's the bottom line. When he's walking around not doing anything, no one else is going to want to do anything either, especially when he's getting paid the big bucks.
So he's kind of like
a
lieutenant in the Army. He leads you into the battle of building
exactly.
that house, and he's
right.
supposed to be the guy.
I'll be in the back here
exactly.
with a thermos full of hot coffee and my cell phone.
You know, how is the job going to work? You got to have a leader.
Thank you, Jamie. Michael in Snohomish wants to tattle on his boss. Michael?
Yeah, I got a guy that I worked for. I ended up quitting because of him, but he was my superintendent in a landscape company, and he didn't know how to do anything when I got hired there as far as, like, computer work. So I did all the spreadsheets, and then when his boss would ask for information, he would have to come to me and get it. He didn't know anything about anything, and half the time he was at his apartments playing Nintendo while he was smoking pot. And I finally told his boss, I said, if you want to know where he's at, go to his house, because he would never answer his cell phone. And sure enough, they went. His boss went there, found him, and then came back and told me that I should mind my own business and not rock the boat.
So he shared his pot.
Yeah, obviously.
Right. Thank you, Michael. Telling on the boss often goes bad. Andy in SeaTac, go ahead.
Hi. I'm not telling on anybody here. It's just me. I take care of that front office.
Mm-hmm.
And they accuse me of playing Frogger, and I want to make one thing straight. I do not play Frogger.
You don't
Missile
play
Command. It was
no,
never
but I
Frogger.
Play Solitaire.
Solitaire.
Play Solitaire. Oh. So you heard this story, and you went, I play Solitaire.
Well, I play Solitaire, and I do some embroidery, and they're always teasing me because I just sit here and do nothing.
Okay. What's your job supposed to be?
I'm a secretary bookkeeper, but I do my work.
Books are always up to snuff, right?
Yeah.
Phone gets answered?
Oh, yeah.
Memos are taken?
Oh, yeah.
Does your boss know you play Frogger?
I don't play
she
Frogger.
Doesn't. I just had to say that.
Trying to trip her up, Joe. She's covert, baby.
Does your boss know?
He
must.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Andy. She's basically just what they were talking about. Jesse in Tacoma.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Who's the biggest goof-off you work with?
It's there's a guy that works in my department. I work for a large music retail chain, and we stock a lot of small items, you know, and we're opening cases and dealing with customers and doing a lot of stuff during the day. And I'm always cleaning up after the dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm finding stuff. I'm closing cases behind him. He's wandering around the department. It's like having a child. It's like having a child at work, a big child.
Take your child to work day.
Yeah, pretty much.
And they got a full-time job with benefits on the deal.
Yeah, except I'm stuck with him, and he just doesn't do it.
Well, a lot of people are kind of that. I'm kind of that way. I mean, my wife says, I don't know how to close cupboards. I don't know how to pick up clothes. I don't even see dirt. I mean, that's just the way some people are. But
sure.
Is he a good worker other than that? I mean, does he always show up? Is he?
Yeah.
No.
Well, no.
Does he sell a lot of equipment?
What's up?
Does he sell a lot of gear?
He does sell a lot of gear.
That's all that matters.
Hey, he's bringing in the bucks, buddy.
Thank you, Jesse. And John in Seattle.
Hello.
Yeah, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Do you work with someone lazy you should blow the whistle on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's supposed to be a truck driver slash dispatcher. And all he does is he dispatches us out in the morning, and he sits on the computer all day long.
Surfing the internet. Where does he surf?
I went in there. He went home from work early the other day, and I just had to go in there and see what he had been. He's a snowmobiler, and he looks a lot of that stuff. But the other day, he's getting ready for a trip, and I got on there, and all of these little saved sites down at the bottom, every one of them were travel sites. You know, but I mean, that's basically all he does is he sits in there for probably 7 hours out of the day.
By the way, this guy has the whistle on his voice. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, it sounded like you said a bad word, but you were saying sits. But you have the whistle.
Sits.
He's full of sits, this guy.
Do you have the whistle in your teeth?
You know, I would love to tell somebody, but I think that he must have something on the boss. It's the only way that he can get away with this.
A dispatcher's job is to get on a radio or whatever, a phone, and call and say, okay, we need you to take this to there. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, but we have specific routes that we do. So he basically sets us what we're doing in the morning, and which is real simple. I mean, it takes him all of maybe 10 minutes.
And then he just sits there.
And the rest of the day is sitting on the desk, and he's supposed to
sit on a desk, right on
driving
the desk.
The truck too and delivering. But
all right, thank you, John. That was that. You know,
I know. I don't hear it. What do you mean?
He reeled it in.
Yeah, oh, did he?
At first, okay. Said it, yeah.
A little embarrassed.
Then ignored it. KZOK. If you visit this national park, you could wind up being eaten. Nobody really knows about this, but 10 people this month alone have become dinner at a national park. Care to guess which national park? 1-800-252-1025.
Dinner? I mean, I'm thinking like, you know, the Florida Everglades National Park.
With the
gators. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, because you could probably get stung or bitten.
You're not eligible for this.
Okay.
And it's not gators doing the eating, I'll say right now.
It's not gators, but...
I mean, eating...
It's something just as bad. Yes, Eric?
Is it Glacier National Park? People getting eaten by bears?
You're not eligible either.
Okay.
And I'll go ahead and eliminate bears, too. It's not bears doing the
not
eating.
Not bears. Can you imagine taking the family to a national park, coming back with one less?
Sorry. There's more room in the car.
You guys
were complaining all the way here. He's on me. He's touching me. He's bringing him off me. Now look at all the room you got.
Do you suppose you could get the parking sticker money back? I paid $5 to park here. Least you can do is offset the funeral expenses. Yes, 10 people have been eaten. Where, Dean?
Kenai in Alaska.
No, that's not it. Good guess, though.
Do bears get a lot of people?
I've never heard of a bear eating someone. A bear will maul you. That's the strange thing.
Saw that one photo that was going around the internet last year about that leg that was half eaten on that guy. I mean, so, you know, remember that footage?
No, I missed some of those beautiful things. I missed.
Send you that? I'll send you that. It's my screensaver at home.
Sean in Bellevue.
Hey, good morning, Bob.
Yes.
I was thinking Bengal National Park in India.
You're closer than anybody else, but not quite correct. By the way, that's the trick. I said national park.
Oh.
I didn't say which nation. Look at Eric. Eric was smoke coming out of his ears.
Well, I went to one national park that had all kinds of horrible things that could eat you, but I won't tell you the name just in case that's the one.
Ron and Everett.
Bombay, India.
Bombay Park in India, that's correct. Don't load up the station wagon and go to Bombay Park and let the little ones crawl around. Here's what's going on. Leopards, that's right, leopards from the national park on the edge of Bombay, which, by the way, is not in the middle of nowhere. It's India's largest city. Leopards have killed 10 people this month and eaten them, prompting forest officials to do what?
I love the way they're dealing
feed
with
them,
this problem.
Feed them pigs and rabbits.
Close you already got the story in front of you.
Ron, that's what I told your man.
No fun reading the paper. All right, thank you, Ron.
Closing the park, I hope, right?
No, they didn't close the park. Instead, they let loose lots of little pigs and rabbits so the cats won't be hungry.
Operation hors d'oeuvre.
Hundreds of wild boar over the next couple weeks. They'll just be letting them
they're
loose.
They're going to fatten up the leopards so they're...
Well, they're going to...
Oh, they've run out of prey. This is funny, but I think human is the least favorite food of everything.
Really?
Yeah, leopards are walking around going, hey, nothing
to eat. They smell like a lone.
They went and grabbed one right out of a hut. Now, a leopard is not going to take those kind of chances unless he's desperate for a meal. I mean...
The killings are up sharply from previous years, you know, when they had an acceptable number of killings.
Which were several a year.
I'd like it posted on the park entrance. Welcome to Bombay Park.
Well, you know how we have fire damage. Your chance of being eaten is low today. Really low. Go ahead in.
In that part of the world, they take national parks very seriously. They want to make sure that the animals in those parks are protected. And so if you go into one, for example, I was in the Royal Chitwan National Park in Nepal, just across the border. All you could take with you in the way of weapons, if you were going with a guide, was a stick. They couldn't carry guns, they couldn't carry tranquilizers, only sticks.
To protect the animals?
Well, to protect humans from the animals, yeah. So if
no, but I mean, the point is that they don't
you
want you to
permit.
Have a gun because they don't want you to kill animals.
Exactly.
There's a guy quoted in this article and says, yeah, it's the way it should be. The parks are for the animals, not for the people. If you go in there, you're taking your chances.
Chief Forest Conservator Prem Yadavendu said leopards are not creating the problem. Man is. Forest is meant for them, not for people. You win, you're eaten.
You're bad.
That's too bad.
Oh, man.
The forest is spread over 40 square miles, made a national park in the 70s. As Bombay expanded, apartment buildings were constructed along the park's edge, and squatters, much like our parks, our you know, town greens and stuff, moved into the park. Squatters who, I guess, are more or less homeless.
Yeah. What a tent city.
Residents have demanded lighting, patrols, after a 52-year-old man was just inside the park sleeping by a shrine. You know what that means.
Empty bottle of wine.
Homeless, probably.
Yep.
Chomped up.
Hey, buddy, can you spit it?
Emily and I saw a movie last week that I'd recommend, and it's really not getting much play with all this Fahrenheit 9/11 and everything getting the news. Two Brothers, it's called, and it's about great cats. It's about tigers. And at the end, they said there's only 5,000 tigers left right now.
In the world. They're hungry.
Yeah. Well, and they have a right to eat. Would you kill a tiger if it ate a person?
If I was the person in question, yes. Yes, I would.
No, if you were in the process.
Yeah, I know I'm going to lose a leg here, but he's a beautiful, majestic beast with every right to
yes,
eat.
Yes, I know. There's only 5,000 tigers left, though. You go wander into the park. Someone takes
pocket
a family member.
Pocket full of
member.
Beef jerky.
It's kind of your fault. Disagree? Agree.
There were 100,000 of them at the beginning of the 20th century, and now, I mean,
there...
Yeah,
there were a lot less rugs than there are now, too, so you got to look at the good side.
Yeah, that's true. And, man, those guys were treated good back in those days. The rich people, you think rich people now have a good going on a fishing excursion or something? These guys would come in and get on elephants and go out and not just ride an elephant, but put a house on top of an elephant. I mean, they're up there in these beautiful
elephant
RVs. I
don't
know if it's called a house.
Well, it's huge.
And yeah, you're right. It won't fit into a compact parking
space. I mean,
they've
got a full tea set. They're up there having lunch and in the...
Is that a tiger, Hodgie?
Well, they send the tigers their way.
Gun.
They send guys out. They'll trap a tiger like a week in advance. And then when the rich guy comes hunting, they let the tiger out of the cage and flush
chasing
him right
the
towards the
oh,
guy
you're
on
kidding.
The elephant.
Don't bring me my gun.
No, and then, yeah.
I'm a sportsman. Look
exactly,
at me.
And he's the great hunter.
Sort of like how we stock fish, though. Don't we just yeah. have a bunch of trout in the lake on opening day?
As a result, there aren't a lot of tigers left.
There should be more tigers. That's, and, you know, here clearly, because it's a predator that really is... most of the predators that are left, we don't have too much to worry from. Bears don't like us.
No, we stink.
Bears will. Bears want our garbage, but don't really want to fight with us unless we're between them and their cubs. Raccoons. There's a predator who will allow. A cute little fuzzy thing that looks like a kid's doll.
Hey, bandit. Whoa.
And it's only going to take a toe or two. I mean, it's not going to kill a man, a raccoon.
We don't want to. We've kind of kicked predators' asses.
Yeah. Thank you, God.
The great cats are in a, I mean, they're in decline. We could certainly kick them any time, but they're the true predators of man, I guess, the ones that you're not going to have much of a chance against if you come across a hungry one.
Before dawn on Monday at Bombay Park, a leopard dragged an 18-year-old boy from a doorless tin-roof hut wedged on a hill bordering the park. I don't want to make fun, but my kids sleep in. They could be dragged by a leopard. They wouldn't even wake up, so it probably didn't hurt.
Oh.
I've tried to wake up my kids before noon and, you know,
Release a leopard into their room.
Maybe that'll help.
Get them up, go get a job.
You are taking a very calculated risk whenever you live or stay near one of those parks. When I was at the Chitwan National Park, rhinos would come over the river from the park into the neighboring village where I was staying.
And they would eat.
That was ladies' night. All rhinos drink free.
They had mustard fields, and the rhinos would come and wander among the guest houses and eat the mustard greens. And we were told when we were staying there, do not go out at night.
Or shove mustard greens in your butt.
or that. Wow.
They're herbivores, right?
Rhinos are, but yeah, they'll charge you and they'll kill you. Rhinos are the third most dangerous animal in the Chitwan National Park. Number one is sloth bears. They have claws and they go for your face. Number two are tigers, and rhinos are number three.
They're releasing 500 wild boar and 40 deer.
Wow.
For the leopards. Deer make wonderful prey.
Do they?
Yeah, cause deer reproduce heavily.
Yeah, they do.
And
yep,
deer
yep.
need a, you know, even here, we have places overpopulated with deer. Deer yep. need
predators. Absolutely.
Predators, they need to be hunted.
Yep.
As any deer hunter will gladly tell you.